So greetings, everyone. It's nice to be here with you. Say Happy New Year's to everyone. I'd like to request, if I could please, that meditation be called Fully Arriving in the Here and Now, if that's possible. Fully Arriving in the Here and Now. In our tradition, we so often start with the body, or even more often with the breath, as though we're going to anchor in the breath. But that easily allows us to skip, to not realize that we're really not showing up in the here and now. Easily allows us to not realize the importance of mindfulness and intention. It's very easy to do that we're meditating, but we're not relating to the edge of our own practice. That we're having comfort in the meditation, but it's not that edge that we would ideally have as we meet daily life with its challenges, both our own challenges and the challenge of the larger world, as I mentioned in the guided meditation. So I encourage you to reflect on what's wise for you in terms of how you might ask yourself, well, how do I do with this? What would be skillful for me? Do I agree with what he's saying at all in the first place? And if it's helpful to listen to this guided meditation again a time or two, because it contains my best understanding of wise view in terms of the relative. Not talking about the absolute here, but in regard to the gradual path, to living, walking the path in regards to the relative. So as I have continued to live my life, this has become more and more important to me, and I'm simply sharing with you for whatever it may be worth to you. Our focus tonight is related to what we've just did in the meditation, but it's not the same thing. I'm rearranging my desk here a little to get all my papers in some sort of order as best I can. The longer I do these things online, the more papers I tend to have each time, which is unfortunate. Once again, together we come to a new year. As far as I can determine, there's now been over 20 years of our coming to a new year together. I look forward to it each year. I am honored to be part of your greeting and we greeting together this new year. And the new year is like an arc of time. It's not like a day or a minute. It's not the ball dropping at midnight. I would really date it from the solstice to sometime like January 7th or 10th or something like that, this time period of a new year. And everybody's moment in that, immediate moment would be whatever it is, not necessarily as it's being defined by others, particularly for commercial reasons. I've as best I can remember, for most of those 20 plus years, I have said what I'm now going to say again about January, because I feel as though it's important to say it over and over again, that January is named for the god Janus, which is the threshold God with two faces, a face that looks forward and a face that looks backwards. And in that threshold, past and future are at bay, because you are no longer in the past and you have not stepped into the future. And therefore, you can see the past and future with equanimity. You can see the past and future without being caught in either of them in this moment. That you can recollect yourself. You can remember, meaning put yourself back together. Catch up with yourself. Reconnect. Recommit. Because you're not going into the future and you're not in the past. This threshold, this is a community experience now, but we each do these in each facet of our lives at different times. And from a Buddhist point of view, each moment is a threshold in that way, is a threshold, because the moment is only here and now. And there's another moment, and on, many, many different implications of that. So in this in-between moment, we're pausing and we're reflecting and we're learning from the past. We're arriving in the moment and we're acknowledging that this moment affects the future. And we're acknowledging it in such a way that the future is not simply being defined by the past, which so often can happen. This idea of a new year is externally generated. That is, we didn't think it up. We were told it in our entire lives. And it is generated culturally. That is, every society has, as far as I know, has some form of a new year. There is some beginning and an end. There's some recognition of cyclical nature of the seasons. Great wisdom in that cyclical nature. My dear friend and initiator into Jungian therapy, I asked him one time why he stopped working at 102. He died at 104. And I asked him one time in his 80s, I said, why is it that you seem to have this ever freshness? And he said, you know, at some point in my, I can't remember now, I think he said 40s. I'm sorry to say this since I can't quite remember what it is. But he said, I stopped living in linear time and I started living in cyclical time. And it moved me away from all of this weight of linear time. I took that to heart. It would have been somewhere 30 years ago, more or less, that was happening, maybe somewhere 32 to 29 years ago that he told me that. So this, in addition to the cultural aspect, because the cyclical nature, light has diminished, and then it opens back up. And that opening back up of the light, in a way, is what we are celebrating. This reemergence of the light, the reemergence of us back into enlightenment, to being enlightened, to being awake, to having our, you know, our biology allow us to be present, to not be sleeping, to not be dormant, but to be active internally in our lives. It's still the winter here in this hemisphere, but in this winter, the lying fallow is active. It's not passive. It's active. We are renewing, we are reconnecting. We are looking at the past and being enlightened by the past, by our mistakes, at least as much by all of our wise actions. We are being enlightened by the mistakes of others, the unskillfulness of others, and their skillfulness, their generosity, their kindness, their wisdom, both, so that we are not, for sake of understanding, we're not judging skillful and unskillful as bad, good, comparing and all of that, but we're rather discerning the what is to be taken equally from good and bad, from skillful, I'm sorry, that was not what I meant to say, taken equally from skillful and unskillful, from what seemed to be harmful and what seemed to be helpful. I mean, being very clear about this, we're so caught in our storylines that we get reactive to that which we think was unskillful by ourselves or others, towards us or towards others, that we neglect its greater value to us. Its greater value, because we're each capable of being unskillful in ways larger or smaller than any other unskillful action we've witnessed in another. And we certainly know that we're capable of repeating our own unskillful actions. At least I am. Maybe you're beyond that, but I am not. And so we learn to weigh with an equal mind to find what is useful, what is to be learned, what will help form our deepest values from past and future. And then there is this idea of a fresh start, which we're stepping into a new threshold. In these 23 years, I believe it is, that we have engaged in this reflection, we've always done so in an onward leading way. From the beginning of this Sangha, the whole idea was that it was onward leading through understanding Dhamma in our daily life and living it, a kind of practical mindfulness and compassion, compassion and mindfulness that can be implemented, wisdom that can be implemented. And so that we, in any given year, we're moving towards less suffering, less fear, less anxiety, less anger, less frustration, less grasping, and moving towards more clarity, more kindness, more well-being. It's deliberate. We're deliberately gathered together. It's not just, oh, let's have a good time. It's not like a Sunday community dinner. It's, we want to have a good time doing it, but it is onward leading. It is the energy is like a wedge moving forward, cutting through kind of the resistance of our old habits, our old patterns. So in that sense, this particular Sunday is the renewing of the quest, a renewing of the commitment. And I think that's great, you know. I think we need this as a community. We need it as individuals. And Marin Sangha as a whole is doing this together. New Year's resolutions in their usual form where we're going to get more done, we're going to accomplish this, we're going to complete that, we're going to change this. Those are all wonderful, good, wholesome motives. And I have participated into those many a time myself. And they're part of really the inner and outer journey together, how we change internally and externally. But at the same time, because this is an inner journey, and certainly the teachings of the Buddha are pointing to an inner journey rather than what we're going to accomplish externally. So, for this year, I want to pose the question, What can you let go of or put down that that would involve some sort of not indulging in or not denying or avoiding? What could you put down? What could you let go of? So rather than thinking of, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to accomplish that, I'm going to acquire this, I'm going to get better at this, but rather letting go. I have a good friend named David V. White of 50-some years, and he's got a website called A Meaningful Life, ameaningfullife.com, in which he writes, and he's got a center called the Meaningful Life Center. And he was writing on his website on January 1st a couple of things that I thought I would share with you. And I recommend his website to all of you. One of the things he said is, the Tao Te Ching insists that fulfillment is not about adding things to your life, but subtracting things from your life. Subtracting things that you are attached to that keep you from fulfillment. So that fulfillment is not about adding, but subtracting. That's actually liberating, you know, because all those resolutions that we make about what we're going to add, so many of them don't get added anyway or not sustainable. So thinking about subtracting. He also says that one Taoist practice consists of subtracting something every day. Imagine that. Waking up in the morning and saying, well, what can I subtract today? So a little moment of getting irritated with traffic, I'll subtract that. I don't need that. I've been irritated enough with traffic. I don't really have to do that again. Oh, that person that annoys me and gets me in a bad mood, I've done that so many times. I can let loose of that. I am very tempted to hold on to it because I get really indignant about it, but I can let loose of it. And on with the internal and external experience. Now, David also said in his offering, he quotes the Christian mystic Meister Eckhart, which Meister Eckhart was a mid-13th, 14th century a Christian mystic, and many of you would already know of his writings, very beyond, he's a general mystic, not just, doesn't belong to one religion. But Eckhart says, God is not found in the soul by adding anything, but by a process of subtraction. So not a new idea from the Buddha to Meister Eckhart 1,500 years later to now 1,300 years later, the here and now. In our own Buddhist tradition, this idea of subtracting, takes the form of letting go. Letting go of what? Of grasping, of clinging. And it's contained in the Buddha describing that in the Four Noble Truths that there is suffering. That there is suffering in the way we relate to the moment. The way we relate to this world just as it is. The Buddha does not describe this world as a mistake. He doesn't say, oh, this is a terrible world. He says that this world and being alive in this world is precious. It's precious. So the duality of this world of gain and loss, pain and pleasure, all the worldly winds that he describes is not like a mistake, but rather it is a set of conditions that are, according to the Buddha, favorable for our growth towards liberation. And then in the second insight, the second noble truth, the first insight is that the cause of the suffering is not the nature of the world, but the way we relate to it. And the second insight of the second noble truth is the instructions, the practice insight is to let go of the cause of the suffering, which is to let go of the grasping, to subtract, to release, to put down. So what can we put down? What do we not need to carry today? And we may pick it up again tomorrow, but today, can we put it down? So, this feeling of, maybe around politics collapsing with all the current atmosphere, the current behavior of politicians, or maybe it's around this widespread realization of how really unjust our social justice is, that how unfair it is, and to not give up our participation in bringing it to justice, but not sinking under it, not getting lost, not becoming part of the anger, but part of the quiet resolve to care, to act because we care. That would be letting loose in each instance. You know, it's not easy to set about this subtracting, releasing, ceasing to grasp, and so forth, to create a kind of emptying so that we're more and more in the emptiness that is part of the underlying reality of this. And so we have to do it step by step. We have to take those steps over and over again. And how fast we move and what it looks like throughout our lives is less our business than how we line up towards it. That we're aligned with what we, this refer to intention as our deepest values, that we're living our life the way we would live it because these are our values, rather than thinking, well, I'm going to live my life this way so I can get what I want, even if it's liberation. So we're not trying to get so much as trying to be aligned with, aligned to, in this gradual path of the Buddha's. We have so much, much baggage that we do carry. Oftentimes, starting a new year is referred to as a new chapter in our lives. Other times, we'll talk about a new chapter in our lives because we've moved or we've gotten a new job or there's a child, the first child has been born and this is a new chapter, or there's a divorce and that's a new chapter, or whatever it may be, that this is a new chapter in our lives. But oftentimes it's referred to as the new year. And so using that particular way of talking about it for this evening, if this time, this arc of time, that is the new light entering, the new cycle, the beginning of the new cycle that moves into ever more light and then goes back into the dark. If we're at the beginning of that cycle, then how is it that we start that cycle, start that chapter on a new blank page? How do we start on a blank page? That ain't easy. Because all of our past habits, all of our past beliefs, it fills up that page before we kind of ever get there. So we turn to a new page. But here, this thing where, wherever you go, there you are. The page gets filled so fast. So is it impossible? I don't think so. In aspects of our lives, I think we can start with a blank page. It's not that the past isn't present. It's not that we don't have habits, that we don't have formed realities that are based much more on opinions than on any kind of a factual basis. We have all that. We're not going to get out of all of that. But our attitude, our way of relating to this very moment in this new year, we do have some choice about. And so that's how we get to the blank page. And that's why the meditation was about here and now. If we're going to get to the blank page for this new chapter, it's only through here and now. And we understand what I was pointing out in the meditation. We're not trying to get rid of the past, but we are very determined that insofar as we have choice, we're not going to be defined by the past. We're only going to do as well as we do. We already know that, so we don't need to fret about it. It's not going to help us fretting about how we do it. But we're clear that we can have a relationship to the past that is more responsive than reactive, that we do not have to be defined by the past, even though it characterizes us. That's part of the vibe that we'll write our new chapter with. That's what makes it a whole book that's connected. But the chapter is not onward leading if we're being defined by the past. This is clear enough, right? It becomes quite interesting to think about, oh, a new page, a blank page. Is there any way in relation to any person in my life, any situation in my life, how I'm relating to myself internally in any aspect of my life, to bring up this idea of, I want to start with a blank page today. I want to start with a blank page. Yeah, I know the past well. I know all my reactions to X or Y, or I know about my own sloppiness or my own whatever it is that whatever it may be for you. No, I want to start with a blank page. I want to start with a beginner's mind here. A beginner's mind. It's so challenging to do. It's so, in a way, scary to do, because if we start with a blank page, we kind of don't know what's going to happen next. So we've got these habits for coping with the difficulties in our lives. We've got an identity in relation to the trauma of our lives, to the disappointments of our lives, to the failures of our lives. We've got a story, and it may not be pleasant, but it's our story, and so we're comfortable with it in a certain way. We wouldn't change the facts of the past, but we would meet that past in any given aspect of our life, because we're not going to do this everywhere all at once, but we would meet in any given day the past or our projections about the future with a blank page. I don't know what the future's going to be. I don't know what to make of the past. I know I want the past to inform me in a way that is onward leading. I'm very clear on that, but I'll see how I'm doing this moment. But that's my value. That's my intention, therefore, and I can be here and now. So it's just the past. It was just past stories, past events. Here and now, that requires so much courage. You remember in the guided meditation, I was inviting you to feel the courage. Very deliberate. A blank page takes a lot of courage. Takes a lot, at least for me. Now, again, you may be different than I am and different than the people I've known these decades of my life. So it takes so much courage that the name of this Dharma reflection is, do we dare turn the page? Do we dare create a blank page? Do we dare create an empty page, if you prefer that, to be empty? To be empty of what? To be empty of reactivity. To be empty of habitual mind. To be empty of carrying all the stuff that we carry. So a blank page in a new chapter. It's called 2021. Lots of ones. Lots of ones. Really value those ones, because Swami Sivananda would say to his monks, beyond one is repetition. Beyond one is repetition. And to the teaching being to point out how we spend all of our mind states are all this repetition of what we've already done and how we've already interpreted it and what we believe about it. We're just repeating over and over again that beyond one is repetition. When I was first taught that, it really got on my nerves. I did not like it because I did a lot of repeating of things, you know, in the world. And yeah. And so I argued with it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, maybe more. When I get into an objection to something, I will spend years proving that it's not a good teaching. Not necessarily one of my better traits, but it has its advantages, because when I come to something, I really know it's true because I've argued against it for so long. So do we dare, having the courage to invite the arising in us just for this moment, here and now, a blank page, a new chapter with a blank page. So when I call my mother or I call my daughter who's so mad at me, whatever your story is, I'm going to call with this empty mind. It's a blank page. Maybe she's going to be mean to me again and fuss at me and tell her all the ways that I didn't do whatever. But maybe she's not. I don't know that. I'm going to be empty, and I'm going to respond to what is from here and now, not from my own grievance about her, about how she didn't appreciate me, or this obviously isn't my personal story that I'm referring to here since I'm childless. But nonetheless, it's the stories I hear over and over again, those difficulties that human beings have with one another and how they carry the history, the story of that on and on and on the personal level, the work level, the community level, all of these different levels that they carry it on and on. So having a blank page, and what can help with having a blank page is this idea that we can let loose. T.S. Eliot and the Four Quartets describing a mystical moment for him, and I'm not relating this to the mystical moment, I'm bringing it back into the here and now of this practical. Last season's fruit is eaten, and the fulfilled beast shall kick the empty pail. Last year's everything, all the stimulation through all the sense gates of last year, they're gone. They've already been eaten. You've consumed them, and however you have consumed them, we've all been either skillful or unskillful, moment by moment, in all of these stimulants that we have, you know, from smell, taste, touch, thoughts, everything. So repeating. Last season's fruit is eaten, and the fulfilled beast shall kick the empty pail. It's empty. Empty. That's the opportunity. Notice the emptiness, that it's gone. It's not here in the here and now. Such wisdom. For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. Last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. A blank page allows you a new voice in writing a chapter of your life. Again, a new chapter of your life in any given aspect, or any given dimension of your life, any given relationship in your life, even given category, whatever, however you perceive these things. Words move, music moves, only in time, linear time. Words move, music moves, only in time, but that which is only living can only die. Ajahn Sumedho, the Venerable Lhunpor Sumedho, to be born as a death sentence. Words after speech reach into the silence. Only by the form, the pattern, can words or music reach the stillness, as in a Chinese jar still moves perpetually in its stillness. Not the stillness of the violin while the note lasts, not that only, but the coexistence, or say that the end precedes the beginning, and the end and the beginning were always there before the beginning and after the end, and all is always now. All is always now, here and now, here and now. This is how we shift attitude. We can't ignore the past. We can't ignore our patterns. If we try to deny they exist or ignore them, they will eat us. They will eat us because those patterns want to keep living. Because they have momentum, they have force. And I don't mean to make them a personality, but the momentum of a pattern is to fulfill itself. It is energetically alive, but not as a personality. And so it is only in the acknowledging and seeing and saying no to the pattern while knowing the pattern, even while deeply respecting and caring for the pattern, that we let it go. This is not easy to understand. It requires reflection, but we all know we have habits. We all know we have patterns, that these patterns get implemented over and over again. Not a person in this community here this evening doesn't know that. But this relationship, how to have a blank page in this new chapter. How do we have a blank page? How do we find the emptiness of that page in how we relate? How do we find a blank page? How do we ask for it? How do we even hold it as a possibility? Not easy for me. Not easy at all. But time and again, I have seen that it's possible. And I give witness to that for whatever it's worth. I report from the field of life, that that's possible, that there are blank pages that can arise independent in the end. We can't say, I'm going to go create a blank page in this aspect of my life. We aspire towards that our wise view is to have this blank page. And we come into the here and now, and we ground ourselves in intention and mindfulness. And then what happens is not so much our business. It's the practice that's our business. It's the practice. You're here in a community of practice. We're all practitioners. We're not believers. We have faith, but we're not believers. We're not being asked to believe in something. We're being asked to have faith to explore, to see what's possible in that way. There's a few things that might be of help to this, maybe not. One is that as we go about this, we, in this new year, here and now, we forgive. We start our movement towards a blank page by forgiving. Because to the degree that we have not forgiven ourselves in that given area, that episode of your life, whether it's in your romantic life, your family life, you as a child, you know, and so forth. Likewise, for those who as a child abused you in some way or weren't there for you or really set you on a pattern of no self-confidence, not believing in yourself, we forgive. We forgive, not forget, but forgive. We don't carry around. We let it be that this was, but it's not happening in this moment. And we put down whatever it is that we're carrying in the way of it. No, we don't. We take the wisdom with us. We take the resolute. We can still be seeking justice, but we're not bringing it around in the same way. So we forgive. I did, for some years now, I've done an annual day of forgiveness at Spirit Rock, which I really would encourage all of you to come to it. Noli Way and I do it together, and it's really a wonderful day of forgiveness. And I just did this 2 weeks ago or something like that. And I found myself really in an altered state of forgiveness in doing that day long. I've done this all these years and it never happened before. It was a state that I've never even heard described in all the Dhamma talks or run across it in any reading. So starting with forgiveness to being available, to have as a value, to have intention and mindfulness towards forgiveness. So you're blanking out. You're creating the blank page. You're emptying yourself out of what you're holding. What lives, the fact, the history, we're not trying to get rid of the history, but not have it define us. That's the emptiness right there. And that's imaginable for us regular folks, that kind of emptiness. So starting with forgiveness, and then going into tonight, the rest of tonight, going into tomorrow, this arc of time that we're in right now, where each day you're looking for something that you can cease to be attached to. What can I make a blank page today? What can I make a blank page right now? So you could recently have been hurt by something or felt deserted, and it really strong, and you've not finished processing it. But even in that moment of still processing it, you're meeting it with a blank page. That may not seem possible, and sometimes, at least for me, that has not been possible. I was dramatically betrayed in one situation that was very expensive betrayal. And it took me a long time to move beyond that, really a long time. But I practiced deliberately that whole time before it went away for me to not be holding on to it. I knew that I was simply hurting myself by holding on to it. But I didn't have, my understanding isn't what, it wasn't then what it is now. And so it took as long as it took, and it was a long time. But this idea of the blank page in relation to that person from your past is possible to live as an intention here and now. Hear that it's living here and now through being an intention, through a value-based intention. There's something very mystical in that. I can't try to explain that. It flattens it, trying to explain it. But it's quite mysterious how that works. So being open to this blank page. I've said this in many other ways through all of these years that we've been together. But tonight, I'm saying it in this way. A fresh beginning from an empty blank page. The third thing, in addition to forgiveness, and genuinely looking for things that you can be in a blank page in relation to intentionally, is the cultivation of intention and mindfulness together and really understanding how they're joined at the hip, as I was pointing out in the meditation. I didn't get for a long time how acute, how important, how vital, necessary that relationship between intention and mindfulness was. Mindfulness needs intention. Being mindful of what, for what reason? Otherwise, you're being mindful and all the worst habits of your mind will use mindfulness. You know, oh, I'm being mindful. Oh, I could get this if I say this. So we become manipulative. Oh, I'm being mindful. I can skip doing that. It mindfulness will seek advantage if it's the Buddhist mindfulness is part of the Eightfold Path. That's the trouble with secular mindfulness that's not put in a context, is that it mindfulness can be used for advantage. Mindfulness is not intended to be used as in the Buddhist teaching as advantage, but rather as liberation. It's the path of liberation, and it requires having an intention. Mindfulness towards what end? Towards the end where there becomes liberation. Liberation relatively into our wanting, to how we're behaving in this moment, and then ultimate liberation from our whole definition around greed, hatred, and delusion. So they're joined together. But intention needs mindfulness. You can have the best intentions, but mindfulness gives you a sense of here and now in terms of, oh, that's not wise. I have a good intention here, but the outcome is not going to be good at all. Oh, that intention was too fuzzy. That was a confused intention, or the implementation of that value was in a confused way. How did you know that? Because your mindfulness and combined with the intention led to wisdom. Oh, I've done something that was really unskillful. Compassion to yourself. If it's compassion towards another, asking forgiveness. The two together are the action items of the Eightfold Path in that sense. The action right there in those two, at least in my experience of it. So those are the three I would suggest. Forgiveness, looking for an opportunity to create a blank page by letting go, by subtracting, and then a cultivation of a really active understanding relationship with intention and mindfulness. I offer these thoughts for your reflection for this new year. Every year is new, and the same of being in the same path towards liberation from our point of view. And we are being available to the Dhamma. We're being available to learn. We're being available to love. It's a blank page how we're going to do it this year. This year hasn't happened yet. So it's a blank page right now, if we can meet it in that same way. So let's sit for a moment.